Let's read God's word together. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Thank you. You can be seated. When I was a kid, each year before Christmas, Dad would go to a business here in town called Rainy Coffins. It was where he had purchased our 6-foot-long stereo. Every year he would go by there and they would give him the latest edition of the RCA Christmas album. Now, all of you know how old I am. Some of you here don't even know what an album is. The cover had pictures of the various artists that were recorded on that song. People like Johnny Mathis, Jim Nabors, Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, Burl Ives, Bing Crosby, Connie Francis, Mitch Miller, and others. Seemed like every album had the same artist, Andy Williams, singing the same song, Silent Night, Holy Night. It was and still is my favorite Christmas carol. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But that does not describe the Christmas Eves that I remember, and it probably doesn't describe your Christmas Eve. The way I remember Christmas Eve was Mom in the kitchen cooking, banging a lot of pots and pans, family members coming in and everybody saying hello to each other. And then we would all end up at the dining room table, sitting, eating, laughing at Bubba and Marvin's jokes. Then all the dishes had to be hand washed, even though my mom had a dishwasher, before we could open gifts. Soon the family room was filled with people opening gifts, yelling thank you at each other. Finally, there came the great cleanup, when all the paper and all the ribbons had to be collected and bagged and taken out of the garbage can. And then after that was over, we took the Christmas tree down. All is calm. All is bright. Doesn't describe the first Christmas either. Bethlehem was a small little town filled to overflowing with citizens who, like Joseph and Mary, had traveled there to be registered by the Roman government. There were loud conversations, laughter, shouting, doors slamming. While out in a stable, there were the cries and the tears of a young mother giving birth to Jesus Christ. Not long after his birth, a group of shepherds showed up to see this thing that had happened. It was not a silent night. But if you follow the life of Christ, you will find that there were very few silent nights in his life. He was questioned. He was mocked. He was ridiculed his entire life. It began when he was 12 years old and his parents found him in the temple in Jerusalem discussing religious matters with the leaders. His mother asked him this question, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." At the age of 30, he stands in the Jordan River wanting to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John asked him a question. "I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come
to me. After his baptism, Jesus is led into the wilderness to face Satan's temptations. He is tempted three different times in three different areas of his life. Two of those temptations begin with the same question: if you are the Son of God. And the first question was, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And the second one was, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this mountain. He returns to his hometown of Nazareth, and he preaches his first sermon there in the synagogue. Here is how the congregation responded to him. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard his words. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. There was nothing silent, calm, or bright about their reaction. One of his disciples, Matthew, holds a banquet to introduce his friends to Jesus. A large crowd of tax collectors, sinners, and just common people show up at this banquet. And this infuriates the religious leaders. They ask Jesus, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Later, these same religious leaders accuse him of being the prince of devils and of breaking their laws by healing a lame man on the Sabbath. They despise him because he refuses to use the law to allow them to stone to death a woman caught in the act of adultery. They bristle when he tells the story of a prodigal son who has wasted all of his father's inheritance and comes home to be welcomed by his father and rejected by his brother. Finally, through bribery and subterfuge, they arrest him on false charges. That was not a silent night either, when all was calm and all was bright. He is brutalized, lied about, and after a sleepless night, brought before Pilate on trumped-up charges. While this is occurring, one of his closest followers lies three times when he's asked if he is one of the followers of Jesus. Standing before Pilate, Jesus refuses to take the calm and the bright. Instead, he chooses the cross and crucifixion. After being severely beaten, mocked, and ridiculed by Pilate's soldiers, he is crucified between two thieves outside Jerusalem. But even there, he finds no calm and no silence. The religious leaders gather at the foot of the cross, much like sharks smelling blood. They hurl insults and accusations at him. They mock him, and they take great pleasure in watching his agonizingly painful death. During his crucifixion, for 3 hours, the city of Jerusalem is as black as pitch as the sun refuses to shine. It is as if night has broken into the day. But it too is not a silent night where all is calm and all is bright. It is during that 3 hours of silence that Jesus asks a question when he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Finally, death overcomes life and Jesus dies. He is taken down from the cross and his bloody body is prepared for burial. The man they wrap in burial cloths was once wrapped as a baby in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. He is laid in a borrowed tomb. One would think that his journey is finally over and that there will be silence and calm and bright. But the Apostle Peter said this, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. The night, the darkness of sin, the night of broken relationships with God of death, that night was finally over. The bright light of Christ's resurrection from the dead completely eradicated it. The Gospel of John describes it with these words, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." That night was not a silent night. Heaven's angels sang of His birth. Shepherds left their sheep to seek the Savior. A baby cries in a manger, and heaven and nature sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Yes, silent night was and always will be my favorite Christmas hymn. Here are the words of my favorite verse. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from Thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. Tonight, you'll be served the elements of communion that symbolize His death on that cross, where He died for you and where He died for me. Tonight, you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, an opportunity to sing of His birth while accepting the forgiveness that came about through His death. He was born in a manger for you. He lived a sinless life for you. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. He did all of that for all of you. After I pray, you'll be served the elements of communion. I'm going to ask you to take them, and you'll hold it upside down. And if you don't do it correctly, you'll have grape juice on that new dress. You turn it upside down, you peel the bottom off, you turn it right side up, the bread falls out, then you peel the top open. Once you're served, please hold the elements until everyone is served, and then I'll come and lead us in communion. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we think of that night, and we reflect upon that night, and we sing about that night, and we rejoice in that night, we are reminded that it really was not a silent night, that all was not calm, that all was not bright. And tonight, Father, as we sit in this sanctuary, we are reminded once again that we live in a world in which there is no silent night, in which all is not calm, all is not bright. We think tonight, Father, of those who are hungry, of those who are cold, of those who are homeless, of those who sit in intensive care units, of those who are maintaining vigil at the bedside of a loved one at a hospice, of those who are in a homeless shelter, of those who are at war. Lord, our world still is not silent, it still is not calm, and it still is not bright. But Your Word tells us that Your Son Jesus came into that kind of world to save sinners, to give His life as a ransom for me and for everyone in this building. I pray tonight, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the elements of communion, that we would pause to give thanks to You, that we would pause to reflect upon our own lives. And I pray, Father, if there is a single person here tonight that does not know You as their Savior, that before they leave this building, even, Lord, while they're waiting for the elements of communion to be served to them, that they would say, Jesus, Son of God, love's pure light, come into my heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.